Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 267, Walking by the Spirit, Part 4, Building a Strong Spirit. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, July 10th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we've been studying about walking by the Spirit, right? Who remembers some of the messages? Okay, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about baptism, and kind of all throughout we've been talking about the struggle, right? The conflict that occurs between the sinful nature, right, which we call our flesh, and the Spirit, and that they are in opposition, right? That every morning we wake up and it's like round one of the boxing match. Ding, ding, ding. Who's going to be in control today? My flesh, my sinful nature, or the Spirit of God that lives inside of me? Right? That's the question. Big question mark. So today our message is very like proactive. It's preventative, you know, like Smokey the Bear. He likes to prevent forest fires. You know, we can overcome this conflict that the word says exists every day, that these two forces are in opposition, by building a strong spirit within ourselves. So that's what we're going to talk today. This is the fourth and final part of this series called Building a Strong Spirit. So we want to build a strong spirit in us that relies on the Spirit of God, right? That relies on the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we do that when we choose to put the Holy Spirit first, above what I feel, above what I see, above anything that any information that my five senses can, you know, discern or pick up or receive information, you know, from our five senses. But when we're connected to the Holy Spirit of God, we are connected to a whole different realm, right? A powerful realm. And he's the Spirit of truth. So we're connected to truth. And that's what we need, because our emotions can lie to us and they go up and down, and so do situations and circumstances. And we have that sinful nature that always leans toward, oh, what feels good? You know, appetites, impulses, desires. Ooh, that smells good. Ooh, that's... And then you're off track before you know it. And the Spirit of God is over here saying, listen to my voice, listen to my voice. I'm over here, you know. Focus, focus. He's going like this, focus, right? So having a strong spirit doesn't mean that you have all the answers, because who has all the answers? Jesus, right? Not I. Jesus, right? And all the answers in of how to conquer the flesh that we deal with every day, this challenge. But rather, having a strong spirit means that you know how to run to Jesus, how to run to and rely on the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, right? Because he does have all the answers, and he knows how to conquer the flesh, right? Jesus conquered the flesh, right? So he knows how to help us, right? So a strong spirit, in order for us to build a strong spirit, it is going to require us to be open, to stay open and teachable to the Holy Spirit, right? Sensitive to him, sensitive to the Spirit of God, not information that I can pick up from my five senses. So we're going to choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and then we'll end up a champion in that boxing match. We're going to end up a champion when we say, Holy Spirit, you're going to lead today, not my flesh. My flesh, my emotions, all of that is going to take a back seat. And Holy Spirit, you're going to lead. Yeah? So if you ask me, so what does that, like, give me something practical. Give me what that looks like. Okay? Let's turn to the Word of God, because there's great examples of what that looks like in the Word. And I'm sure you could find many. I chose the story of 2 Chronicles 20. Because I thought this depicts really well in several places here how Jehoshaphat chooses to turn to the Lord. He, in this battle of the spirit versus the flesh, and in, you know, of course, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them like we do today. We have this advantage. But he made some wise choices. So let's look at this. It's a long story, but it is a good story and it's powerful. So this is in 2 Chronicles 20, and we're just going to start in verse 1. So here we go. Buckle up. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Help me, Lord, with all these names. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazanatamar, that is Engedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it, and you and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house,' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Verse 10, "And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 22, "And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies laying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Speak to it from us today, Father. Let it be your words to people's hearts, Father, and not my own. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's dig right into this. This is such an amazing story. So, you know, go back up to verse 2. Some came and told Jehoshaphat, right, that a vast multitude or army, some or a horde, another versions say, is coming against them. That could be cause for panic, right? That could be cause for despair, fear. Oh my gosh, what do we do? Have you ever, you know, had this report come to you that a vast army, it may not look like soldiers, it may be a doctor report, it may be something in your family, just some news that you feel like this vast army is coming against me. You know? And how do you react to that? Do you allow your emotions to kick into gear? Run to the secret place. Yes. Praise the Lord. Teach us, Jesus. So verse 3 says, how did Jehoshaphat respond to that? It said he was afraid. My Bible said he was afraid. Wow. So fear came, right? We have feelings. God gave us feelings, and they're okay. Feelings are like messengers. We just can't let them control the ship, because then we get in trouble, right? If he let fear control what happened, the outcome of this story would be totally different, right? So it says, it's very interesting, because it says, it's honest here. He was afraid, but what did he do? He set his face to seek God, right? So it's how we respond to the feelings that come to us. When fear comes, when panic comes, when crisis comes, it's how we respond to it. So he did two important things. He set his face to seek the Lord, and he did something else. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So he decided, you know what? This is too big for me. I need to go to God. I need to seek the face of the Lord. And then he said, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm going to call all of Judah to do a fast. We're all going to seek God together, because I'm not in this alone, right? And I think that's a really good lesson for us. Let's not be lone rangers. He put us into a body, right? And we can rely on each other. So he chose the spirit mode, right? So far he's winning. Jehoshaphat is winning in that battle of the boxing round, right? Of the spirit versus the flesh, because he decided, nope, this is too big for me. I'm going to put it into God's hands here. He wasn't going to let his emotions lead him. So imagine if our state, you know, our local state federal government leaders did this, when our country was facing a trial or tribulation or something that they felt like a vast army is coming against them, if they said, we're going to set our faces to seek God, we're going to fast. Imagine how our nation could be. It's fun to dream about stuff like that. Okay, so fasting is an important spiritual discipline that sets aside eating, right? We talk about fasting here and we practice this together corporately. Eating regular meals, you set aside eating those regular meals in order to seek God, in order to get his direction, his counsel, his encouragement, to receive strength, guidance, right? It's like putting that distraction of food and planning meals and all that stuff, to put that aside and say, God, I just want you to feed me from your spirit to my spirit, right? It's pretty awesome. Okay, so verse 4, the whole nation assembled. They came together. It was intentional. They moved, right? They assembled together in unity to seek help from the Lord, and with King Jehoshaphat leading the way. What a good leader. Wow. And the people followed, and they ran to God for help, right? Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, this nation gets blessed through this story because they had God as their Lord. And they had this leader, fearless leader, who said, no, we're going to seek God, right? And they were blessed from it. So then we see the next few verses here, verse 5 through about 12. Jehoshaphat makes this mighty prayer, right? He just opens his heart and talks to God in front of all the people that were assembled then, or assembled there. He magnifies the Lord. He points to God's sovereignty, right? And what God has done for his people in the past. He says, aren't you the God that did this? Aren't you the God that rescued us, right? Aren't you the God? So this is a prayer of faith. When you look at this and his words, this is a prayer of faith. He's not giving in to fear and flesh here. He's running to God, but this is a prayer of faith. So like verse 6 and 7, he says, oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? He's like reminding himself. When we pray this way, it reminds ourselves, are you not God in heaven? Like nothing is impossible for you. And all the people are hearing this too, right? We hear it ourselves. And when we pray like this, and the people around us hear this. You rule over all the kingdoms and the nations. In your hand are power and might, and not one is able to withstand you. Did you not, God? Like, wasn't that you, God, that drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Wasn't that you? Right? We can remind God of what he did and said, wasn't that you? And you're the same God that's here with me, right? When this army is coming against me. So verse 12, he recognizes before God that they are powerless against the enemy. I love that. He says, we do not know what to do. He's being very open and transparent, right? He says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So when you're in a situation, take that stance. I may not know what to do, God, but my eyes are on you, right? Because then he won't fail you. He will lead you. He will guide you. This is a spirit-led response. My eyes are on you. We can train ourselves to have this spirit-led response that comes out of our heart rather than a fleshly response of, oh my gosh, panic, this, you know, let's just run and hide in a cave somewhere because this army is coming against us. No. God, we don't know what to do, but you know what to do, so we're keeping our eyes on you. So verse 14 through about 17, it says, the Lord then responds, right? He uses the servant Jehaziel, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he begins to speak out to the people. And he's giving encouragement, and he gives direction to the people. So in verse 15, he says, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit speaks that to you when you feel like an army is coming against you. Do not be afraid. and do not be dismayed at this great army, or great horde, as it says in the ESV, which is the version that we are looking at here. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Whew, that just takes a whole load off me. The battle is not mine. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to like come up with this great, awesome plan and strive and make it happen and come up with the victory somehow. That's God's job, right? My job is to follow him, to keep my ear inclined to what he says, right? To keep my heart open to him and then to obey, right? So then they gave instructions. They were ready to obey. They were teachable. So God gave directions to them. The marching orders came then. Verse 16, tomorrow, he says, go down against them. Take action, position yourself, he's saying. So, but he just previously said, it's not your battle, but God's. But you're going to have to go out and face it, right? Sometimes we've got to stand there and face it. And in one of our recent chapters, I think it's chapter 4, in the Persevere with Power book, he's talking about, the author Samuel Rodriguez is talking about holy confrontation. And they were in a Sunday school class, and they were drawing pictures of what the kids thought, you know, illustrations of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And one little girl, I'm just retelling the story real quick here. One little girl draws this whole face. I think it was a whole face on her paper. And Pastor Sam, you know, asks about the question, and what's this about? And the bottom line is the little girl says, Pastor Sam, you have to put your best face forward. Right? I think I quoted it here. I wrote it down. Where does it say? I got off my notes, so it's in here somewhere. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that you have to put your best face forward. That when the enemy's coming against you and trying to break you down and trying to get you into crisis, that you just smile and carry on and know that God loves me and he's going to take care of me. That was this little girl's answer about why she drew the big face. Wow. So that's what we need to do. We're going to need to take our positions, right? And trust in your heart. Have that confidence that God is for me. He's not against me, and he's backing me up, right? So hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. This is in verse 17. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. So he's telling them, tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. So then their response to this, when God spoke and gave these directions, verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Wow. When the Lord speaks to our hearts, our response should be one of reverence, right? Of holy fear. They just hit the ground, I imagine. He bowed down, right? To the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that just spoke to my heart and gave me direction. Worship should follow when God speaks to our heart. Thank you, God. Oh, you're saving me. Thank you, God, right? Don't you just feel this relief? Just this peace comes over when he speaks to you, right? So then verse 19, the Levites, they were the praisers. They were the hallelujah choir. They praise God with a very loud voice, it says. Loud, you can imagine that, right? And then verse 20 through 21, what did they do? Okay, so we're going to do our own thing. God spoke to us, now we're going to do our own thing. No, they obeyed, right? It says early the next morning, they went out to the wilderness, and Jehoshaphat encouraged the people again, and he said, believe in the Lord your God. He said, okay, now guys, here we are. Be encouraged. God said this, believe him and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. He's just saying, here we go. Come on, stay on track. Let's stay with our hearts fully into what God has spoken to us, right? So then Jehoshaphat, he appointed people, these Levites, this hallelujah choir, to sing and praise. And where did he put them? At the front of the army. Isn't that awesome? When I go out to face an enemy coming against me, an army coming against me, let me have the praisers of my heart out in front, right? Meeting the confrontation first with praise the Lord, hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies, I sing because God, you are great and you are mighty. Woo, that does something. That does something. Worship and praise. We scare the devil with that. We're putting our best face forward. We're worshiping God and we scare the devil off with that. Right? Because nothing is going to shake us. We're not going to get into fear because we are choosing the spirit side, not the flesh, right, response to this. So verse 22, what happened when they began to sing and praise? The Lord set an ambush against the enemies that came against Judah, right? Worship brings deliverance. How about that? They were worshiping this, the Hallelujah choir was leading the army, right? And the Lord set an ambush because he says, this people trusts me. This people is singing to me. They're keeping their eyes focused on me. And he brought deliverance. He set confusion in the camp. And they all started to fight. The enemy started to fight one another. Right? They destroyed one another, it says, verse 23. And then the spoil was so great that they couldn't even carry it all back. Wow. Wow, wow. What does this tell us? Blessing comes. Blessing comes to us when we honor God in the face of challenge, of difficulty. When we do it his way, when we keep humble, when we open our hearts, when we praise him no matter what it looks like. Oh, here comes the army. No, God, you are sovereign. You are on the throne of my heart. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. Oh, but they're coming. Nope, just keep praising God and magnifying him, right? Because deliverance comes. So then after that, the response, verse 26, they assembled. What did they do? They blessed the Lord. They got together again and they blessed the Lord. They gave God the credit that was due him for the deliverance and how he saved them and rescued them from this, right? That could have been total destruction for Judah, but it wasn't because they made a choice in the beginning. We're going to seek God. We don't know what to do, but we're going to keep our eyes on God, right? So verse 27, 28, it says, they returned to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Ha ha, hallelujah, right? They were defeated, they got all the spoil, and they go back rejoicing. Verse 29 and 30 then describes what the result was on the whole land in the years to come, that, or the time to come. It says, fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries around them there. When they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Like, whoa, the Lord showed up for this people. I'm not going to mess with them. Right? Because we'd end up destroyed like this enemies end up destroyed. Right? I'm staying away from them because the Lord's on their side and that is more powerful. The Lord is more powerful. They saw, right? So fear came on all those kingdoms. And then it says the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. And the Lord gave him rest in the land. We get peace after all this because we learned and we grew in trusting the Lord and seeing, we grow in faith, seeing that he came through for us, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, switching gears slightly. We're just going to keep charging full speed ahead. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, the ESV says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. We're talking today about keeping our heart, growing our spirit, keeping our heart. But the Bible says, guard that. Keep it with all vigilance. All vigilance is like, you're really taking care of that. I think of like an all-night vigil that we used to do in the mission organization that I was with. We'd stay up all night and pray all night. That's all vigilance, right? But this is all the time. Other versions, the NIV says, above all else, like above anything else that you take care of or think about or do, above all else, it says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is so important. We need to guard our heart. I think of like a little, you know, security guard, or those little, you know, in London, the guys with the what are they called? Bobbies, you know, with the tall black hats and the red jackets and, you know, like this, and with the buttons, can you picture this? Like little toy soldier, you know, guard, you put guards like that on the door to your heart. They are guarding thoughts. They are guarding what comes in, what goes out, what I take in with my ears. Those are my eyes. With my ears, right? With my eyes, with my ears, I can get this. This is why I work with toddlers. Praise the Lord. I got to keep practicing head, shoulders, knees, and toes. But so we need to guard our heart, not our physical blood pumping heart that I, you know, right here. But this is the heart. That's the core of who we are. It's like there's life there in us, in our heart, in our spirit. It's the inner part of our being. Right? And the Bible sets a high importance of us taking care of that, saying or staying on guard to what comes in and what goes out of your heart. So, how are we guarding our hearts? How are we doing? This is a rhetorical question that you can ask yourself. How am I doing with this? It's important to ask ourselves, what am I allowing into my heart? This is how I'm going to keep a strong spirit, by what I'm entertaining, what I'm thinking about, what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, what I'm feeding on, right? So we're going to go into some ways here. We're talking about how to build a strong spirit. So Pastor Sarah, tell us, how do we build a strong spirit? Okay, for those that are very systematic and whatever, point number one, just the way you would build a strong body, right? You watch what you eat. We're talking about building a strong spirit. We're going to watch what you eat. What are you nourishing yourself with? What do you take in? Like I said, with your ears, with your eyes. If you want to build, right, a strong body with toned muscles, you need to eat carefully. You need to eat proteins and things with high vitamins and nutrients, right, that are going to build you up and nourish your body. And then you need to work out, right? It's the same with your spirit if you want to be strong. You need to eat the Word of God, right? You need to eat. You need to feed on this. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Your emotions are not going to help you. It's the Spirit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. His words, God's words, that he wrote to us in a personal love letter, they are spirit and they will be life to you. We must consume that. We must get that in our heart. So when it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, or guard your heart, let this come in. The guards say, yes, this can come in. Other stuff, no. Junk, false lies, no. That's not coming in. That's staying out, right? Let this nourish you and satisfy you. Because from the word comes faith, right? Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We need to feed on it. We need to get it into our hearts. And like Dr. Lester Summerall says, that Pastor Harley shares with us, that he used to say, I think this is how he used to end his radio program every time, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Like, let them die, right? We need to feed our faith with the word of God. Feed it. Be like the hungry hippo. You know that game, the hungry hippo? Hungry, hungry hippos? Like, I work with toddlers, right? So, you know, it's that game with all the little colorful hippos, and you press the button, and they have all the marbles in the middle, and they're like eating, like, frantically, like piranhas trying to get the marbles. Be like that. That's the picture that came to me when I was studying this. Like, feed on it, get it. Be the one who is eating the most. Not that we're competing against each other, but, you know, just go with it, okay? This is me. This is Pastor Sarah. So be like the hungry hippo, getting that nourishment from the word of God, right? So that's number one. Watch what you eat. This is how you're going to build a strong spirit. Number two, exercise spiritually. Who likes to work out? One person, two people, three people. You can count me, four people. Okay. There's several ways. Working out can be fun. Okay. And especially spiritually, exercising spiritually, it can be fun. Okay. Let's make this fun. So there's several ways we're going to talk about. This is point two, exercise spiritually. Now we're going to go into a couple ways that we can do this. A, this is point A, pray in your Holy Spirit language. Shakabarita kasoko baranana, right? Yeah. Romans 8, 26 through 28 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, so this, go back up to the top. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you feel like the army's coming against you, what do I do? This is one way that you can exercise spiritually when you're in crisis, or to prevent, like we talked about. Prevent, just every day, pray in the Spirit. He's going to help you. Just the weaknesses that you have, the areas like all the time that you just aren't strong in, right? You're going to build that day by day. You're going to build that by praying in the Spirit. If we run to him when we feel weak, or with those weak areas, like I'm not good at this, you know, this aspect of my spiritual life, I'm needing some to be stronger in this area. So you run to him to overcome that, to overcome the flesh, to overcome maybe a tempting sin that you keep trying to stay away from, right? It will make you strong. So maybe you are tempted to have the last word in an argument where words get thrown around at each other, right? Like mudslinging. You can pray in the Spirit. He makes you strong. I'm giving you a couple examples here. Maybe you're tempted to run to your favorite fleshly sin, indulgence, whatever that might be, to comfort yourself, to feel better. Pray in the Spirit. What if you just stopped, changed, like stop, time out, and you just say, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Shina nanaka soko babarata, and just pray until that temptation leaves you, right? He makes you strong. What if you're tempted to let your emotions cave in to discouragement and despair when you see circumstances piling up against you about maybe the family member that you've been praying about and praying for their salvation? Maybe they make a wrong choice and you know, the situation is taking a turn for the worst, it seems. Pray in the Holy Spirit, right? Because he will make you strong. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's what we just read in this verse, right? He helps us. Verse 26 says, he intercedes for us beyond words. We don't understand when we pray in our Holy Spirit language. We don't understand it with our mind. But it's our spirit receiving from his Spirit. And it's really powerful. And once you can get past the mind thing of like, I don't know what I'm praying, you just let it go, right? So in the middle of your struggle with the flesh, when you ignite your spirit by beginning to pray in tongues, then you can trust that you are praying the will of God. That's what you're doing when you're praying in your Holy Spirit language. You're praying out the will of God over you. Yes, amen. And that is powerful, right? So, okay, so I don't understand it, but when I need it to understand, God's going to bring something to my mind, and he does. And I've found that sometimes it's later in the day when I need something. I spent some time in the morning praying in the Spirit, then it comes. A verse when I'm ministering to somebody calls me, or you know, whatever, or I need it for myself, a word will come. And I'm like, maybe I prayed that out because I prayed the perfect will of God over myself by praying in the Spirit in the morning. And it came to me at 5 o'clock, right? Praise the Lord. It's good. It is praying in tongues or praying in your spirit language is a secret weapon. It really is. pull out the secret weapon, church, and let's use it, right? To unite our spirit to the Spirit of God. Andrew Womack says it's like praying in tongues. He says it's like pouring kerosene on a fire. Right? It can light it up, right? It ignites our spirit. So you're speaking truth. You're speaking the word of God. You're speaking the perfect will of God that my spirit understands, even though my mind doesn't, right? And then we ask, you can ask the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation of what you're saying, what you're praying out. Okay, so that was the first way that we can exercise spiritually. How are we doing on time? I feel like, wow. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Are we doing okay? Okay. We need to build ourselves up. Real quick, Jude 20, it says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We must build ourselves. We're talking about building, right? Building a strong spirit. Build yourself up. Pray in the Holy Spirit, right? You will be encouraged. It's fellowship with him. It's hanging out in his presence. Keeping yourself in the love of God, it says. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to just power through this here. So another way that we can exercise spiritually is with praise and worship. We talked about this with the story that we read with Jehoshaphat, right? Praise and worship magnifies the name of the Lord. He is King Jesus on the throne, right? And he deserves all glory and honor and praise. And when I get my eyes and my focus off of what's happening or how I feel about what's happening, and I just exalt him, walls come down. Deliverance happens, right? It is awesome. Psalm 27, verse 6 says, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I love that. Lift your head up. Stop. My mentor, my disciple, or my leader in when I was a missionary and youth with a mission, she would always say in Spanish, she used to say, stop looking at your own belly button. You're just, oh, poor me, looking at my own belly button and all this, you know, all this, all that. Woe is me. Lift your head up, this verse says, right? Above the enemies around me, sing shouts of joy to God, right? Okay, we saw what happened, the effects of when Jehoshaphat put the praisers, the hallelujah choir, as we call them, right, out in front of the army. They worshiped, they praised, they magnified the name of God, and what happened? God came through, right? He set an ambush against the enemy. Praise the Lord. Okay, another way we can exercise spiritually is with your confession. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, help me, Lord. What comes out of our mouth, right? What you say is important. Power of life and death is in the tongue, right? We need to line our words up to the confession of the Lord. What's the confession of the Lord? It's in here, right? Speak the word out. It's important to get it in your heart and speak it out. So some, you know, say, well, isn't it lying if I'm confessing something that's not my current state or my current reality? Like, if I'm sick, you're telling me to confess that I'm healed. Isn't that lying? You know, a lot of people have that question, right? And I think I did it one time. Well, wait, this is weird. I'm not feeling well and I look physically ill, but I'm saying I'm healed, you know. What's up with that, right? Well, the truth is that the word of God is more real than anything else, right? And the devil is a liar, and he's trying to get you to cave into how you feel and what the circumstances are, right? So when you are saying, like, maybe you're fighting some symptoms, but you say, I am healed, what you're doing is you're refusing to let those symptoms control you or sickness control you. You're refusing to let the opposite of what the word of God says lead you and control you. You're saying no, because God says I am healed, right? So it's what you're doing too is you're applying the be not principle from Romans 4:17. You know, the be not principle? Let's talk about it. Okay, so be not principle is Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, right? It's talking to Abraham, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. I guess the be not is the King James Version. So here it's, you're calling things that be not as though they were. That's how King James says it, right? Or in ESV, you're calling the things into existence that don't yet exist. But God, in God, they exist. In the spirit, in heaven, you're calling it down, right? Yes. Because in heaven, there is no sickness, right? But I can experience that here now, right? By building faith and by how I what I confess in my heart, and it can become a reality. Yes? Yes? Praise the Lord. So Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong, right? So instead of saying, oh, I feel this, I feel that, I feel whatever, my energy is zapped. Forgive me, Lord, for that comment last night after we got home from Three Rivers Festival. I think I confessed that, yeah, I'm confessing that I'm strong, right? I call myself strong. I call my body strong. I call my immune system strong. I call my emotions strong. I call my whatever, my liver, my heart, my legs, you know, whatever. I call it strong, right? There's so many words in the scriptures about strong. If you look up in like concordance or the words strength or strong, you're going to get a lot of things, and you can use those as your confession and build that into your heart. Let the weak say, I am strong, right? So like here's a few, you can jot these down. Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So the Lord is the stronghold of my life, or you could say the Lord is the strength of my life. So you declare that over and over to yourself. The Lord is the strength of my life. He makes me strong. You know, however you want to word it. He fills me with strength. He is the God who makes me strong. He is the God who makes me strong. Right? Here's another one. Psalm 18:1. I love you, Lord, my strength. This is one of the ones that I use because it's so easy. It's simple. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. You can put different emphasis on different words each time you say it. You know, Psalm 18:32, God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. It is the Lord who arms me with strength. Okay, so part of this message was inspired by a message by Keith Moore, who I listened to. He's a Word of Faith minister. And if you guys have that clip ready, he in these messages about building a strong spirit, that's what inspired, you know, some of this message. He leads the people in declarations about I am strong. So I'm going to have him lead us because he does it so well. So it's about 3 minutes or so. So why don't we, can we stand up? Let's stand up and we're going to declare. When he says to declare, we'll.
Instead of saying I'm weak and talking weakness and talking infirmity and inability, if you make that adjustment and just take that verse, let the weak say. And when you feel weak and when you experience weakness, if instead of talking like the rest of the world and most of the church, if you'll begin to say, I'm strong, I call my joints strong, I call my blood strong, I call my glands and immune system strong, if you'll do that as a way of life, it will spare you from all kinds of problems as you grow older. Do you believe it or not? But it'll take more than just doing what we did here tonight. You'll need to do it tomorrow. And you go, oh man, I tell you what, my knees are just weak. I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old. Then you're going to have problems with them. They're just going to keep you. What if you say, his might. Now we're going to say this several times, so say it with me out loud. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong. Say it again. I am strong. Say it again. I am strong. I'm 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 strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of his might. I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong. I am strong. I am strong.
Drop down and give me 20. Nah, okay. So you apply that. You apply those confessions, those declarations. That's just like a little glimpse of how you can do that, to exercise spiritually, right, with your confession. So some of those verses, if you wrote them down, Psalm 27:1, Psalm 18:1 and 32, Joel 3:10, you know, and there's many others. You can look those up, the words about strong or strength, and apply that to whatever. He was talking about, you know, the message, part of this message, he's talking about healing, but so he was naming physical parts of the body. But if it's your emotions that you need to be strong in, or strong to fight temptation, or, you know, whatever it is, apply that. Get it in your heart, right? So, okay. So those are the three ways to exercise spiritually, with praying in your Holy Spirit language, with praise and worship, and with your confession, right? Okay, another really important thing. This is number three of how to build a strong spirit, right? Watch what you eat. Exercise spiritually was two. And then the third one, he talks about this, and I thought it was brilliant. The Holy Spirit spoke this to him. Stop the drain. Stop the drain. You can fill yourself up with the Word of God and do all the spiritual exercises. But like, what happens when you fill up the bathtub, right? You fill up the bathtub with water, but if there's a leak and the drain isn't plugged correctly, it's draining out. It's draining out. It's draining out. So there are certain things that will zap your spirit, that will drain your spirit. And if you don't take care of those, you can pray in tongues till you're blue in the face, but then you get up and you go have an argument with somebody in your family and it's nasty and it might be 10 minutes, but everything you just prayed and the strength that came through praying and confessing and declaring, strife is a tub drain, right? Strife is one of those things. It's going to drain your tub. It's going to drain your spirit, right? You're going to feel like, ugh, afterwards, right? So we must stop the things that are going to cause a drain on you in the spirit. Other things, okay, strife is a big one. Another one, fear, worry, doubt, those feelings. Well, what if this? Well, did God really say this? Drain, drain, drain. The water goes out of the tub, right? There goes your peaceful bubble bath. Busyness. Ooh, that's another one. Help us, Jesus. These are drains. They're showstoppers. If we're totally just run around doing all these things, busy, busy, busy all the time, we're going to be physically drained, emotionally drained, right? Right? So they're going to drain life out of you quickly. And the devil knows it. So he wants to keep us in strife. He wants to keep us busy. He wants to keep us tired. He wants to keep us in fear, right? So when you allow those things, it's just like you're pulling that plug on the drain of the in the tub. The water goes out, right? So, okay, Pastor Sarah, tell me something positive. So how do I keep the water in the tub? How do I keep it from not, you know, draining out? A big part of it is keeping on top of your thought life, like we talked about, you know, guarding your heart, but guarding your thought life as well. And it goes very closely with what's in your heart. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? In 1 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So a thought comes in. Oh, your spouse did this, your spouse did that. Blah, 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 blah. And then you go and you start a fight. No, you take that thought captive at the moment that it comes to you, right? You take it, that thought captive, or a doubt comes in. Did God really tell you that you're supposed to do it this way and you're supposed to wait on him for this and that? Yes, he did. Shut up, devil, you're a liar. You take that lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and you stomp it to the ground. You take it captive, right? You run and arrest that thing, put handcuffs on that thought and say, taking you down. Just like a police officer would take a thief, you know, down that's trying to rob a bank, right? Make it inoperative and inactive. Tie it up and it falls, right? Yes, yeah, so don't let that thought fester, whatever it is. Deal with it, get rid of it, don't let it drain you. Don't let it zap your spirit. We're building a strong spirit, yes, and don't let it take your peace, right? Stay in unity with those around you. Stamp fear out. Take authority over these things, over worry, over strife, over anxiety, and resist busyness. Resist that. Okay, conclusion. So we talked about a lot of things. Praise the Lord. We, like Jehoshaphat, can choose the spirit over the flesh when we respond to life, when we respond to God and we say, I may not know what to do, but I'm keeping my eyes on you, God, because you do. We can rely on the Holy Spirit in us instead of defaulting to our flesh. It is possible, and he will help you. It's important for us to build a strong spirit so that we can choose more often than not to respond with the Holy Spirit of God, right? That lives on the inside of us rather than with our fleshly, sinful nature, because we will be blessed that way. We will keep peace and we will be blessed when we choose life. We choose the Spirit. So we can build a strong spirit by watching what we eat, right? What we take in, the Word of God. Right? By exercising spiritually, we do that by praying in our Holy Spirit language, by praise and worship, with your confession, right? Like we practice, I am strong, or whatever other confession you want to say. I'm walking in the peace of Jesus today. I'm walking in the love of Jesus today. Whatever fruit of the Spirit that you need to practice, confess that out. I'm walking in gentleness today. Praise the Lord. I'm walking in faithfulness. Pastor Karen talked about that, right? Be faithful. Walking in the faithfulness of God today. I'm staying with my hands on the plow. You know, whatever it is, encourage yourself in the Lord. Stir yourself up. Okay, praise the Lord. One last final verse. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship. That, if I could highlight a word up there, it'd be the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship is partnership with him. Let that be rich to you. Let your partnership, your fellowship with the Holy Spirit be rich in your life, because you will be strong that way. And stop, don't forget to stop the drain, right? Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you because you are never weak. Father God, you are a strong God. You are Lord Jesus, and you are on the throne. I thank you, Father, that when we don't know what to do, we can look to you. We can choose you. We can choose life. We can choose the Spirit, and we can be strong, Father, and we can watch you come through on our behalf like you did for Jehoshaphat and his people, Judah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to build a strong spirit and helping us every day as we endeavor to do that, that we can exercise spiritually. Help us, Father God, to put these disciplines in place in our life so that we can build our spirit strong with you. We want the fellowship. We want that partnership with you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can do it and we can achieve strength, Father God, because you are strong in us. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that the battle is yours, that we don't need to fight the battle. And you just say that. You want some of us here today to realize that you just whisper to their hearts, the battle is not yours, daughter. The battle is not yours, son. Just take your position and watch what I can do, he says. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the strong one. Father, we keep a tender, a soft heart, an open, teachable heart to you, because we know that you have the answers. When we don't know what to do, you have the answers. Thank you, Father, that you position us in such a way so that we can achieve the victory through you. Thank you, Father God. I ask your blessings on everyone in this sanctuary and those listening online and those watching back the replay or listening to this podcast. Blessings of strength and peace that comes from the fellowship and the partnership that is rich with you and the Holy Spirit. I bless them with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, Father God, that we can just feed on your faithfulness, feed on your word, feed on your peace, feed on your strength in that fellowship time with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the listeners on social media today. Bless them, Father. Bless them over the top, running over, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love and your mercy and your compassion. Thank you, Father. You say that you're not mad. Somebody might be feeling some guilt or condemnation out there for something they did or said or something that happened, but you just want to say, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I love you, the Lord says. I am God, full of mercy and grace and compassion, and I call you back to my heart. Acknowledge your mistake and come back to me, he says. It's okay. I love you. He says, get up your mat, pick up your mat and walk. Don't do it again. Walk this way. Walk to life. Choose life. Choose blessing, because I am with you and I will help you and I will strengthen you. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You feeling strong? Yes. Feeling good? All right. Do it again tomorrow. He says, Keith Moore says, try that, doing that for an hour. I'm like, okay, that's a good challenge. I am strong. I am strong. I'm strong in the Lord for an hour. You want a challenge this week? Do it. Set a timer. And if an hour seems and just you can't make it through, start with 10 minutes. That's how I built up in praying in my prayer language. Timer for 10 minutes. Keeps you on track, and then you keep building as you go. Step by step by step, from glory to glory to glory. So if an hour of declaring I am strong is too much, do what you can. Do 5 minutes. And the next day, do 8 or 10. Double it. Okay? Praise the Lord. Love you all. Who wants prayer today?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.